say you're being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact customer service at 855-466.
All subject matter in the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. This is your co-host for the day, Cousin Greg. And some of you might recall from previous episodes, I'm back. And on the other line, in the boat wake, if you will, I'm stealing that boat wake. I know nothing about boats, but we do, nonetheless, we do have our favorite, and my favorite, convict.
Bobby. Yay! There's a new convict in the convict pool. Derek Chauvin, so I don't think he's any threat of taking away your the favorite convict title that you bestowed upon me.
Great point.
So yeah, a lot's happened since we've talked last, and so here we are.
Here we are.
There's been the addition of a famous quasi-famous co-host. For the Monday morning 15-minute ones. We've been playing with the format a little bit. And, the rudder isn't fully fixed on the boat. So there's moments where I have a little bit of doubt. I'm like, what's going on? You know, but I got a really cool J-Pay today, right when I, because it's in the morning right now and we're planning on talking. So I just checked the J-Pay when I was getting my cup of coffee. And there was this dude named Joey from, right outside Philadelphia. And, He listened and then he fell back for a little while and then he jumped back in and it's just, he's so confused by everything. You know, he had to learn all at once about the captain. He's like, who's the 23-year-old? Is that your girl? Like a bunch of stuff. But in it, you know how the universe will just give you little things to help you out like in the right moments. And I really needed it because he was like, listen, man, dude, I hope it keeps going. I like it. And he said, I've been a part of a one percenter fraternity for a while. And like hearing you talk about it, about your experiences and like maybe some of the psychological leanings towards it and the needs. And he's like, it just pushed me over the edge. And, you know, I decided to fall back and it was a really cool thing in the moment that I kind of needed before I came out here and chopped it up with you. So,
absolutely. Yeah. The world does provide sometimes, you know, if you're open to it. So for sure. That's great.
There's been some developments. I was yanked out the other day, unceremoniously.
Yeah, yeah.
As I was brushing my teeth in the morning, I was still in my I have a pair of sweats that I sleep in. They're only they're cell sweats, so I'm not sitting around in my other sweats and then sitting on the bed in there. Keep things separated. And I just get I'm groggy eyed, no coffee, nothing, still in my sweats and my pajama top. I actually have a pajama top on, but I'd gotten out of that and into a t-shirt and I get yanked out, come up here and, it was the whole inspector thing again. And it had to do with on the website. So I sit up there for hours, what is going on? And I'm put in this little isolation thing. I'm like, what the, people are walking by pretending what are you up here for? And I'm like, you tell me. And it's I genuinely don't know. And then you can see him looking at me. And so they end up calling me in there. And there's a picture on the website of one of the pieces I wrote where you can see what the cell looks like here, because 7 block of this 100-year-old prison was turned into a museum. And the MDOC had pictures of what the cells look like on their promotional, whatever it was. And so Mama C grabbed one off Google. Well,
sure.
I think, here's my theory. I think after the Rogan mention on the Joe Rogan Experience, when old Douglas plugged the website, I'm pretty sure there's thousands of employees at this place,
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure some of them were like, well, let me go check this guy out, and went to the website and then saw the picture and naturally assumed that I had a cell phone and was snapping photographs of my cell. So they just, tore my house up and it was a bunch of nonsense or nothing. So,
damn.
Yeah, that happened. And, as well as that all was like about a week ago. And everything's blending. I don't remember what we've talked about when we haven't. So,
but from what I understand from you, that's a humongous pain in the ass when they tear your house up, though, right? I mean, it sounds like, you know, that would flip me out.
There was, imagine a cop comes into your house and he's like, I'm going to need you all to step out for a minute. And then they go in there and you're thinking through your head, like, there's nothing in there that's going to get me, you know what I mean? But who knows what they're going to do in there, you know?
Right.
And then you just go back and it looks like a tornado ran through your spot.
That's terrible. Yeah.
This one looked as bad. It wasn't quite as bad because a cell phone's not going to be between pages of a book or something. So they didn't go through they didn't flip all my papers out and stuff for my legal work, but it was all dumped out. And I promise you, it had been months since the last one. And you go back in there and you put it back together the best you can, but it's never fully the same. It was just getting into like the high 90 percentiles of being like back organized again, like my books in the right order and stuff.
God.
And it happened again. But yeah, so a lot has happened lately. You know, it's a part of the tumultuous life of a
absolutely. I'm so OCD that just the idea of somebody coming in and, you know, flipping everything upside down, that flips me out. I mean, I'm not like clinically OCD, but you know, that would drive me nuts.
OCD for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of why. Yeah, I remember you being that's why I kind of. Yeah, I mean, I think it would flip anybody out, but come on, that's crazy.
I've had undeniable OCD in the past, and I've really reined it in. But you know, that stuff's stress related, so like some of those tics start coming back more. And I have like the type of OCD that's like ritualistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'll kiss my thumb and press it to the picture of Monica on the way out. Like those little things, and they happen more. Like I do them more when stress is going on. So I've been doing a lot of that stuff lately, and I didn't think anyone noticed. Back in the day, people used to. But people mentioned kind of how you just did, kind of passively, like, yeah, I kind of assumed you're a little OCD. And I'm like, oh, man, I guess.
I do remember, a little bit. But ritualistic is a good way to put it, though. OCD meets ritualism.
Yeah.
I feel that.
So, so with all that stuff out of the way, I feel like there's so much to cover that I just want to knock a little bit of that stuff out of the way. I don't know.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we were wondering what to talk about. I wanted Cousin Greg on here because there are just certain familiar. You're one of those smooth, dulcet tone voiced, a velvet voiced, just caramel skin, just ladies' man, and just loves talking about sensual fucking love and soft stuff. Mm-hmm. But have we plugged this? Where can people get your music?
Because, I don't know. Don't do that.
Let me say this real quick. Cousin Greg, are you mad at me for doing this? Cousin Greg all of our friends were in bands, so we were always going to live music. Most of them were in punk bands, but there was some live, you know, hip-hop stuff going on and shit. Like, there was a wide variety of stuff. Shut up. I'm regretting this. there was a wide variety of like genres and music. The most successful, I would say, amongst our group, which was unique in style, was your group, and it was had TJ and Dallas, and it was very Florida style. How would you describe the style? R&B.
I would describe it. I mean, it depends on who you'd ask. Like me, PJ, or Dallas, but I think there were definitely some. In my opinion, I think there were some soul, R&B, even folk influences.
Yeah,
and then PJ and Dallas brought and PJ and Dallas brought a lot of a lot of hip hop, even a little and that rock element. Even though all three of us collectively hate that word, rock. What kind of band are you guys? We're a rock band.
Punk.
But,
I'd say, like, especially with the drummer PJ was. But you guys had full merch. You guys were actually getting like some hype from.
They're trying to do it.
From record labels and stuff, and you had meetings in New York. You guys were doing your thing, and there was even a time, as you will admit, where we weren't planning on this being the subject matter, but I saw that where you guys got successful enough to where you got a little douchey about it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, and I think, absolutely. Terrible. And, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it.
It's so great to hear, like, that's one of the things I was most blown away by when reconnecting with you, was because it could have went, the trajectory it was going, it wasn't like you weren't insufferable or anything, but that success at that age, you know, and attention from women, you had songs that women liked too, you know what I mean? Like, you're smooth.
Yeah, wrote them for the ladies.
Yeah. And,
I was making up for lost time. Yeah.
They say, Andrew says you still get play on the radio down there.
That's crazy. I know. I get a message every once in a while from people in Florida like, yo, look what I'm listening to. And I think that's cool. It's crazy. I mean,
that's, so you don't know where the music's available at or any of that? You don't want to plug any of that?
I don't. I have actually been looking for it myself. I guess not hard enough. You know, because the last time it was available was on CD Baby. I mean, I might as well bring up MySpace at this point. But, no, I could definitely find it. You know, and I have it on, like, MP3.
Can we plug it? Can
I
say it, what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called, the band's name was Santos.
Yeah,
they're really good.
In Spanish. It's also my name.
So,
those were great times. We had, you know, as time has gone by, the main takeaway, when I look back, was we had a great time with friends, the experience. It was just a great time. I mean, granted, there were some, you know, really trying moments, and we really, really wanted that thing to work, and there was pain involved because there's rejection and there's struggle. It's a really hard business to crack. But all in all, it was a lot of fun just experiencing that with friends, you know what I mean? Friday night, Saturday night, everybody's out there.
You have
playing.
1 minute remaining.
And you would get up on stage with us. It was a great time.
It was definitely an event, you know, like, oh, Santos was playing, or, you know, all of our friends were in bands, so it'd be like, CBS, Lita Grey, whatever, and we'd go out and jam, but when Santos was playing, it was a vibe, like, there was, the people there.
We play with Such Is Life. They're, for folks that don't know, they're a hardcore band, and we were like we just said, we were like soul, but we were all just friends, we just meshed, we didn't care, they go on first, we go on first, doesn't even matter, just switching up the vibe, you know, it was all love.
Yeah, that was definitely fun. So, go. If anyone can, internet stalkers like the 23-year-old want to go out there and find and some of that music, it was actually
I'll get a better plug. Yeah, thank you. I'll get a better plug and I'll throw it out there.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll, now that we're just spitballing here, we'll get to the meat and potatoes of it when I hit you back.
Sounds good.
Thank you for using GTL.
All right.
Yeah, we're back. We're good.
We are back. Yeah, you know, when I was calling back, I was just realizing how this feels good. It feels so good doing this with someone you know and you have, like, this history with you. That groove is, like, much easier to find.
Yeah.
And there's probably more we could get into about some of that stuff at some point, you know. People used to mistake you and I for each other occasionally out there.
Yeah, that's a fun detail, Folks that don't know, back in during that time, whatever year that was, well, either way, it was a little while ago, of course, Bobby and I looked very similar. We had the same, mainly because, not because of our ethnicity, assholes out there, all Asian people look the same. It's part of it, though. We both had long-ass dreadlocks. Yep, that's what I said, dreadlocks.
Oh,
we had
God.
Them. I know.
Oh no!
I can feel the listeners just dropping away, and
but see, let me say this. I always have to clarify.
Please do. Please defend us here. I don't know why I said that.
Is that it? Wasn't neither of us were hippies, especially me. I was on some Rage Against the Machine /
That's
dope,
a good
dope
distinction.
Shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'd gold.
Lil Wayne dread. Absolutely.
I was bugged up. I had gold teeth and shit.
Yeah.
The bottom. I had 8 bottom. But just off a cliff. Just the swarthy one used to have them, right? And I'm like, I'm like, oh God, you douche. He's not embarrassed by him. He wants them again. And I'm like, oh, I'm so. So people used to do that, but they would also do it because, and I hate this. It's one of the things G.R. Joe used to hold over my head once he found out it bothered me. I made the mistake of letting him in. And he said it before on here, but no one picked it up because I smoothed over it. He would go, Bobby Cal.
Hey, the reality is you, I don't know if we're going. Oh, wait. Are we going there? Go ahead. I cut you off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
but you were very, what Bobby's about to say is that Bobby was also a performer at one point. I said it seriously. No, he had bars.
Yeah.
To be quite frankly, yeah. Quite frank, I can't talk today. But anyway, you guys know him. Listeners know Bobby's articulate, smart. I mean, just imagine that with a mic. That's all it is, and a track. Okay. So freestyle was on point. Written was on point, and he performed.
That's
songs
really how I got. Yeah. Like, some, my name out there was the battle.
Yeah. Bobby Cal.
The Cyphers and.
I've been to. They had these battles. This is right around the time 8 Mile was out. So the world.
Before 8 Mile.
It was before, yeah. It was before. But it was a great time, and they had these battles at, I think it was a social, right? Down in Florida. And we'd go out to them, you know, in support, and the vibe was different. You know, I played a lot of these bars, Coronas everywhere, and whatever. This vibe was different. It was dark, smoky, a little rough. And, you know, people up there, and MC, people battling, and Bobby won a battle. Got a trophy, murked the other guy. And, that was a very victorious moment. That was great.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It was. I was 6 weeks in a row. The kid was mm-hmm. just defending. And but here's the thing. You know, I was me and you, Bobby Cal and Santos had a song or two.
We're
back.
Two
together. I would spit some. Right. I would spit a couple of 16 on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I remember.
But yeah, like, you know, 8 Mile and the whole blow up of that shit makes it. And one of the things in prison, everyone's a rapper. And so I don't say.
Right.
And yeah, I wasn't.
No, you
were
good.
I was
like
heavy into it back in the day. And it's especially battle rapping was fun. And battling was easy and fun because you're quick on your toes and all it is talking shit to people. So I would just blaze
yeah.
people and make fun of them and then, you know, drop good punchlines and, you know.
Absolutely.
Get the thing. So there's a little douchey history of all our former lives, which you've been completely domesticated. And when we reconnected, it's almost like a touchy subject. I bring up music to you, right? You're like,
yeah, sure.
It bothers me that you don't play anymore.
Well, I mean, I play, but it's at a way different capacity. It's not like that. I mean, because the thing is, I was all in. I was all in with all the chips, and I was like 22 through 25, I don't even know, 21 through 20, whatever, early 20s. And for anybody out there, you know, your boy's almost, I'm 37, and life is very, very different. So, you know, playing is, you know, while at one point playing was like life and art and survival
identity.
And future. Identity, that's a big part of it, identity. These days, it's, you know, me picking up a guitar to make my two-year-old laugh. And he
yeah,
bangs at the strings
awesome.
And... Yeah, it's cool. Definitely it is, but it's just a huge contrast.
Yeah, and I was asking more like about you writing, like where that outlet goes, and you seem to have
yeah.
been. And I don't have a. If to me, writing and not just music, but like the actual writing I do, and I've been talking to Doug about this, is
mm-hmm.
like this thing that I have to do. Like I have shit in my head and on my chest that I just have to get out, right? And it can take. That's what this podcast does. It takes the podcast as an outlet. Sometimes you made an analogy once about plugging holes in a leaking
yeah.
bottle, and then as long as it's coming out somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so that's what writing and all that stuff. But if I didn't do it, that bottle would explode. You seem to have been okay. Like it's not like there's no like pressure or tension that you're not like you don't have that outlet anymore, which is healthy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Fine.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Well. I kind of wanted to talk to you about some of the subject that we were actually going to want
to. Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah.
It has to do kind of with the stuff we're talking about and the progression of time where you kind of just look up one day and you're like, what the? So now normally in like higher levels, people will come from quarantine. I know quarantine now has a whole different meaning to everyone because of the pandemic and shit, but quarantine, as far as prison's concerned, is the place you go before you go to your prison, right? It's to
right.
quarantine you, to do your... classifications, to find out where you're going to go, talk to a psych, see a doctor, a dentist, all that stuff before. And it's actually close to this part of this old prison that I'm a part of. It's right down the road, actually about like a mile down the road.
Okay.
And usually there will be, especially when you're in level 4, you're only coming to level 4 from quarantine if you're doing over, I think, 8 years or 10, eight
okay.
years. So obviously that's not a majority of the sentences. The majority of the sentences are smaller. They go to level 2 or level 1. So you'd get people fish. You'd get fish from quarantine occasionally, maybe once every 2 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
And you could tell right away. You can tell by how they're dressed, what they're wearing, how crispy their state blues are, and all that, and the look on their face especially. And then in level 2, you might get one or two a week. At level 1, you get more. But because our quarantine had been like back, like all the prisons had been on halt. So I spent like the average time you spend in quarantine before you come to a joint, a facility, is a month. Well, here these guys have been in there for 6, 7, 8 months because they're the pandemic. Everything's on lockdown. So at any joint, the most you have, the most percentage of fish you actually have is, it's obviously higher at lower levels, is like, I don't know, 2%, 3%,
wow,
maybe something like that. You know, it's small, maybe 5% max. Well, now that stuff's starting to lift and there's vaccines and all that, there's been a rush, an influx of fish, of brand new inmates just coming fresh from quarantine. You can see them all. They go to healthcare first, and they're all carrying their little bedroll bag. It's just a trash bag with a blanket, two sheets, you know what I mean, a pillowcase, stuff like that, and they're bewildered. They're looking around, and when they come in here, it's the look on their faces, because prison, I mean, you guys can imagine, but prison is a completely alien environment. The everything, the sounds, the smells, the vibe, the just the physical look, especially this place. Like right now I'm under this six-story building that's just looming like a the Satan's fist, you know, or something. You know what I mean? Like
this
giant. And it's just sensory overload, and you forget that when you're here. And when I see these guys come in, I can see it on their faces.
Wow.
And, you know, there's so many of them now. There's like, I've never been at a joint with this many fish. And it kind of shifts the culture a little bit. Like, there's guys that stand too close to you. I told you before, a dude standing too close to me in the phone line where I have to turn around and go, like, give him a look. Like, what do you, get the fuck away from me. And it's not like to be an asshole. It's like if people are standing that close to you, from my, you know, from my history, all the time I've been locked up, is they want to do something to you. They're going to slice you or whatever. So it's just a bad feeling. So I step out a lot, whatever.
Yeah.
And with them coming in, it makes me remember when I came into prison, it was a level 4, and there was a small, you had to walk through a small yard to go into the unit. And my rock, because there's 4 rocks in each unit, there's 50 people on each rock, it's out on yard. It's one of our 45-minute, we had 2 45-minute yards, and they're out there. And so you got to walk through the guys to get into the unit. And I'm carrying, I'm the only, me and this one other dude, D. Nice, came in. This tall, light-skinned dude from, where is he, Saginaw or something. So we both got the things, and everyone stops to look at us because they're like, oh, these guys are coming fresh from quarantine. And as I'm going through, I remember seeing this one dude, Chip, that was, he was from Tennessee, had a southern accent. He was selling taffy. Now, Chip did everything. He did tattoos. He ran a store. He would buy stolen goods and resell them at a profit. He was just a hustler. He had been down to prison like 5 different times. We call him prefixes. It's a letter before your number.
Yeah.
So I'm on my A prefix. He was like on his F prefix or something. But he was so comfortable, and I remember he was selling taffy, and one of them, you know, was like the cherry flavor, and then he had a taffy that was caramel and cocoa like flavor, like chocolate, and it was light, and he was calling them Beyonce. So he's like, I got Beyonce's right here, I got the Starburst, I got Beyonce. But he's got a Tennessean accent, and he's like a dude at a barbecue, and he's complete, he's got a watch on, he's got like the Nikes, he's got the shirt, he's got a little a Figaro necklace, and you know, he's probably 45 years old, and he's just moving, shocking, and this is his shit. And I remember going, he is so fucking at home here. Like, and I, at this time, I'm going like, clink, cell doors are slamming, there's intercom announcements, there's like, overwhelming. And in it, I see this guy, and in the you'll see a couple of these guys, but him I seen specifically, and I was like, he's so at home here. And I, first I envied him, right? I was like, 'cause that's an unsustainable, the feeling I was feeling is unsustainable in prison. You can't, it's so taxing, right? You can't just be, so I envied him because he was so at ease and calm and all that shit at home here. And then it didn't take long before I realized that also I pitied him for, like, what a place, like, as soon as I realized that, I also go, what a place to get to have to get used to and then get used to. And he doesn't even know it. He ended up doing, like, I haven't gotten many tattoos here, allegedly, but I ended up getting a couple lines laid down by old Chipper. And he was across from us. We talked about him before when Chop was on the show. that he used to put the banana out of his pants with the glasses on it.
Okay, yeah.
And that's the job. You know, so I remembered that, and these guys come in now. Some of them are on my gallery, on third gallery and stuff, where I lock.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see their face, like their deference for... I look like a convict, right? I know that. I have tattoos and stuff. But I can see the... So I'm spinning the other day, and this kid, Chucky, he's a new kid, younger kid. He kind of, I see him look at me before and then, like, look away real quick and,
yeah.
excuse me. And, like, he's real, you know, he's never been here before. You know, he's an addict. And this is a small yard. So as I'm turning, he happens to be coming the other way. So he kind of merges with me unintentionally, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's been working up, I could tell, he's been working up the nerve to say something to me. And he's like, hey, because he's been in front of me in line before and asked me something, and I kind of say something, you know.
Right.
I'm not, like, standoffish. I have that look, apparently. But
yeah.
So I could tell he was like, do I? And he's kind of tenuous about it. And so he starts talking, and we start talking. And I'm on some real – I'm in one of these moods. Yeah, well, what's up? What are you doing? Are you trying to win life or what? Because this shit's a fucking video game. And if you're not trying to win, what are you doing type stuff? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm on some, like, real motivated – shit, but we start talking about stuff and addiction, and, you know, I'm saying, well, what are you going to do different? And he's talking, he's like, how long have you been down? I said, well, about 8 years, which not quite yet, but almost there, seven.
Yeah.
And a half. So I said about 8 years, and just face runs pale, like, oh my God. Right. And I remember whatever. So we're spinning, and, you know, after
you have 1 minute remaining,
he says, well, how much time do you have left? And I say, like, 4.5. And he goes, whoa, he's starting to loosen up a little bit. He goes, what'd you do, kill someone? And I go, yeah, I did. I killed someone. And his face just starts stuttering. He goes, listen. I was just joking, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. He's just like, oh, my God, this dude's a heinous murderer, right? Like, I can see in his face and shit. And I'm like, no. It's all right, man. But you were in prison. People are in here for that. He's like, I was just trying to... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect, I didn't, whatever. And so I call him down, and we talk, and we go through some stuff, and he says, you know, I'm glad we talked. I was scared to come talk to you. And I said, why were you scared to come talk to me? And he said, because you look, I shit you not, verbatim, he said, because you look mean. He said, you look mean.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm glad you talked to me, too.
Thank you for using GTL.
Yo.
Yo.
So when I first came down, I went and put my stuff up and came out, and Chip came and chopped it up and talked, you know, and, you know, I was asking him about stuff and all that. And after he said that, he's like, I'm glad we talked. And he said, I'll holler at you again sometime. I said, anytime you want, Chucky, you know, we introduce ourselves. And as he walked away, I seen him look back at me. And he was, like, feeling himself a little bit. He's like, all right, I can kind of do this. Because we talked about more stuff, and I don't go seek people out, but if they come and holler at me, I'll give them the straight dope of what, you know what I mean? And I was talking about, you know, he said, are you afraid of when you're about to get out? Are you scared that when you're going to get out? I guess meaning the transition. And I said, no, I've been preparing, actively preparing for it. I said, the question is, you're going home before me. Are you scared before you get out? And he talked about addiction, and he was like, well, I don't know. I'm afraid of using when I get out. And I said, well, what are you going to do different? Because if you don't do anything different, for sure you're going to use, man. So you got to, like, start. I said, this time is, you know, most people by now, the viewers know my philosophy. So I give my philosophy, this time isn't to be wasted. They look at it as punishment to you, but you have to look at this time to figure yourself out, to figure out why you were doing that. And then I tell him about, you know, my struggles with addiction and all that stuff. And, like, look, you got to do it, whatever. So as he's leaving, and he looks back, and, you know, like, I could tell he got a little bit from it. And so did I, talking to him.
Yeah.
But as he leaves, I instantly remembered Chip. And I was, in that moment, I was like, without even noticing it, somewhere along the 7.5, 8 years, I am Chip now. To you know what I mean?
Wow.
Not,
yeah.
But
I love the story.
Somewhere along the way, I became that convict that is comfortable and just knows what they're doing here and how to do it and has settled into their groove, because
yeah.
you have to, really. It's not like
you have to.
But it's so weird when you have a moment in your life where the shift in transition happens immediately. Bow. Like, boom, you see it right away. Like, oh, holy shit, I'm shit now.
Yeah.
To this guy. Like, it's, and that happens to everyone in life, right? Slowly, but I don't know how often you have the moment to really realize that the coin has flipped, right? You, I was thinking about you. You've been in NA for what, how long now?
It's coming on 12 years. This summer.
Is that okay? I bring that up. That's okay.
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely. AA.
Oh, you're doing good, doing his thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're doing your thing. But you know, at some point when you go there, that's a different environment too, and you're kind of like out of place. You're like, all you guys talk about shit. You share shit. And then
yeah.
there's also little rituals, the openings you guys do, and all that stuff, and
that's
the setup, and the rules, and all that stuff. And you're new to it, and you're a fish to it. And then there's got to be moments where people come in now, and you're a big homie of NA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a revolving door that happens often.
But there's moments where you realize that, right? Or have you taken the time
yeah.
to ever go, oh, I'm that other guy now. That, like, when I came
yeah.
in.
Yeah, I could definitely relate to what you're saying. It is, it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing, but it's very, very similar in that.
So that fascinates me, that there's
yeah.
that, you know, one day you look up, hopefully, right? But I think
mm-hmm.
most people have these moments, whether it's on psychedelics or edibles or just something like that hits you in the head and makes you realize it, that you look up and you're like, oh, I'm like my dad now. Like, I have a kid now, and now I'm the guy that, like, the way I
yeah.
used to look up to my parents as if they had the answers, this poor
mm-hmm.
kid's looking up to me, not knowing I don't, the secret that we don't know what we're doing. Shit,
right,
you know?
Right,
or
yeah.
In your job, at work, whatever, in a relationship, you know,
yeah.
you're part of a couple that just is, shouldn't be it, whatever it is
yeah.
that you used to
yeah.
look at in the past and not realize you've become in some way, and you look like that to other people, really is an interesting, trippy part about, like, time and, like, getting older and progression and stuff. And it makes me think how fast all this shit's going, you know.
Right.
I think that's something everyone can relate to if they're paying
yeah, absolutely. That's I love that story so much. You told it so well, and it's has so many life's truths baked into that one story about Chip from Tennessee, and then Bobby, or I'm sorry, Tino from Michigan. Let me ask you this: in the beginning of the story, you were talking about how there's that duality of feeling like you envy Chip, but you also pity Chip. But now you are Chip. Would you say
it for
that
myself.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I assumed you.
I feel
mm-hmm.
it for myself. It's there's a, and I've touched on this before, there's a blessing in the shock of this place wearing off, and I've compared it to war before, because it's unsustainable to constantly
yeah.
live in that state of anxiety, fear, panic. Now, there's other anxieties that come in, and those will never fully leave you, but
right.
that has to happen. But then there's also I also mourn the fact that this place isn't shocking to me.
Yeah.
This place is, for all intents and my purposes, my home. This is my home.
Yeah.
And that's that. There's a mourning. There's like a mourning of the life that doesn't know this place is home. You know what I mean? And
yes.
It just is what it is, though. I don't like dwell on it. Like I said, it's the way it has to be, really. But yeah, I feel that too about.
Yeah.
Myself.
Have you ever, when these fish come through, have you ever had the experience where, you know, somebody comes in, you could tell he's new, and because we have this thing in AA where they say if you go to enough meetings, like speaker meetings, eventually at some point you're going to hear somebody metaphorically tell your story. You're going to relate to somebody very, very naturally and heavily. Has that ever happened to you in there? Like maybe a new guy comes in and you just kind of see yourself in it? Like has there ever been any fish that stands out to you for that reason?
Well, not in any, like, that is me type way.
Yeah.
But I think
right.
so many of us have the similar problems that there's a little aspect of my experience and most people, whether it be depression or addiction
mm-hmm.
or just, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I really, like, tend towards people that had, like, a lot of times people are consider suicidal thoughts as a real weakness in here. So people don't bring it. I love myself too much to try to kill myself. Well, you didn't love yourself enough not to do stupid shit and get yourself sent to prison, though. So whenever anyone, I'll bring it up, and when everyone brings it up, I use my story, which, you know, I don't share with everyone unless it can serve a purpose. And I tell people, I say, listen, man, and most of them are completely surprised. They're like, what? You have depression issues, and you seem like you got your shit together, whatever. And I say, I do, but it's because I do, like, work towards it. And, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
That's what I was telling old Chucky. There's an announcement going on. It's so hard for
me to heard
focus
it.
When that's... Well, I just wrote a piece about the anxiety, inherent anxiety, the simmering anxiety of prison intercom announcements and shit.
Yeah, intercom,
just,
keys.
They're full of potential and shit. No, but the intercom's a special one. But anyways, yeah, so, you know, so I tend to you know, use that story for people like, hey, listen, man, this is what can happen, you know. It's like because of the consequences and whatnot. So, but, yeah, I think it's this, like, the realization I kind of... I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No.
The realization of, like, really seeing that coin flip made me be like, there's this lingering... There's this theme, repeating theme with me where, like, one of my fears is just... And it's going to happen in a lot of ways. We're all already there. We're going to be... I'm going to be on my deathbed and be like, where did all the time go, right? If you don't stop and, like, a moment and pay attention. And there's an upside and a downside. The upside is, before I know it, whether I like it or not, which I like it, I'm going to be free. I'm going to be out of here. But also, before I know it, whether I like it or not, I'm going to be an old fuck, if I'm lucky enough, on a bed somewhere with hopefully my loved ones around me on the way out. You know what I mean? And so, like, oh, my.
Hello,
just in case you forgot where the podcast was taking place at.
Yeah, just in case.
That's not me.
Thanks, right.
We listen to intercom just long enough to make sure we're not the ones being called to the gallows. And then, like heartless bastards, we turn away. So, yeah, so, you know, I try to use those to be like, be in the moment, appreciate whatever phase of life you're going through right now. You know, your kids are in high school or junior high. You're deciding to fall back from a one percenter fraternity. You've given up music for family life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pay attention and, like, find the value. And annoying and positive,
doing,
I've seen my shit in a long time. And, you know what I mean?
I like annoyingly positive.
Sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's important. You got any, I'm going to try to keep these under 2 hours long.
Yeah.
You got any?
We have some viewer questions. I'm actually going to pull them up right now. So this question here is from, he's asked questions before. He's a listener. I'm sorry, a viewer. Mike W. from New Jersey, North Jersey. It's my buddy.
Jersey.
Anyway, Jersey. Yeah, his question is this. And you may have covered this before, but his question is, how accurately is prison portrayed in movies/TV shows? And are there any stereotypes that just aren't true?
This is so... I just brought this up in a conversation recently. I don't remember who it was recording with. It might have been Sam. So when you're... You know, if you've ever watched a war movie with a military guy, there's those guys that just can't wait to bring up all the flaws. Here's the number one problem with suspension of disbelief it takes to watch a movie. You know it's a movie, but you have to kind of suspend the disbelief. You'll give them some play, like, okay, maybe that's not what they actually say over the radio or whatever. The number one thing for me, for someone who's actually been to prison, when you watch a prison movie that takes me out of it, where I'm like, that's not prison, there's not enough weirdos in it. There's not enough weird-looking people in it. And I'm talking, like, a mixture between, like, Napoleon Dynamite and, like, Trainspotting. Like, weirdos. Like, fucking weirdos, right? In prison movies, they're all tough guys. And, like, oh, they got a scowl, and they're all gang. But you don't see the person with, like, the gimpy arm with, like, their hair braided up into a fucking...
Yeah.
Sticking straight up at the top of their head. There was a guy... Well, we talked about him. Me and Joe talked about him. The vodka model dude. Xerxes, that had his whole head shaved... Except on top, a little triangle, like a Dorito size, tasted forward, like in the shave, in the middle of his head. Only hair on his head was a Dorito. In the middle, not the front, in the top middle, slicked forward with grease. and it was light skin.
What?
Would do these. Yeah, so there's super weird people here, and that's never in the movies. You never see that.
Never.
I love to see a prison movie where in the background there's someone. There's this throuple wedding between the three weirdest people you've ever seen in your life. and it's going to happen to them. They're actually sitting there right now. I'm seeing them. Two of them are on one side of the fence, and the other one's on the other.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be featured in an episode coming up.
Good
for them until you know who they are, and then you're like, no. But, yeah.
All right, listen, he's got another question here that's a good one. I'm going to ask it carefully, though. Allegedly, have you ever seen or heard anyone allegedly talking about an attempted, alleged prison break? And just stop me if that's
don't,
not.
Don't, yeah, no.
Okay,
no,
next one.
No, I haven't.
No.
I once knew on a person charged with it, but because they found some stuff in the cell. But no,
yeah,
there actually was one. I think the first year I was here, that you're basically talking about people getting froggy and wanting to leave early.
Mm-hmm.
There was one here that happened during the Super Bowl Sunday, and I was in level 4. I think Chop was my bunkie, and then the guy made it all the way to like Wisconsin and killed someone when he was down there. And it was during Super Bowl Sunday, and like I think they changed the way they do Super Bowl Sundays.
That's crazy.
But yeah.
You are you up to taking a couple
more?
There
was another famous one. There was another famous one where these guys grabbed a truck, like a delivery truck, in here, and one of the guys got shot that was hanging on the back. I guess he wasn't really planning; he just seen it. And they tried to drive through the fence, but there's layers in those higher levels. You know, this is a level 1. No one's trying to get out of here, even though they came and put brand new razor wire at the top of a 6-story building. Like you're just
you have 1 minute remaining.
I'm looking up at it right now. So, but that was a famous one. I think people crashed into the first fence, and then the dude on the back got shot with a Mini 14. That's the thing they don't have here in level 1. So on the higher levels, Oaks, they have gun towers and dudes with guns, and they have these little sandboxes down below for them to shoot into. So when shit's going down, they'll bust a couple rounds, you know, because those...
Yeah, just to get everybody's attention.
Yeah, get everyone to lay down.
Wow. That's crazy.
All right, what time is it right now?
It's 10:05. You got time for another?
All right. Yeah. Give me 5 minutes, though.
No problem.
Or however.
All right.
Yeah, I got to take a week.
Yeah, go for it. I'll talk to you.
Thank you for using GTL.
All right, so we're back after the urination break. Do you guys know time has passed? And to me, all kinds of shit has happened. Well, actually, not really. That one was really quick. So what's up? Let's get to another one. And
Let me throw another question your way from a friend of the show. A regular viewer, Andrew L. from Maryland. All right. So, what is the most influential? This would be hard for you to answer because I know you, but most influential book you've read in prison?
It depends on what aspect. Probably.
Yeah.
Polishing the Mirror by Ram Dass is a really big one that has to do with.
Cool.
You know, being in the moment, living from your heart instead of just your head all the time, and calming down and compassion. And, you know, Ram Dass is a former Harvard professor who kind of was with Timothy Leary when they got kicked out of Harvard. They were both Harvard professors, and Timothy Leary went apeshit, like over pumping, kind of a lot of psychedelic enthusiasts say Timothy Leary gave it a bad name because he was being responsible with it because. You can't just tell everyone to take acid and then everything's going to be better. Like some people have mental health issues, they need guidance. Those are heavy, serious things. And Richard Alpert, which became Ram Dass, went over to India as a kind of like quasi-Buddhist and met this guru named Kirali Baba and had this really profound experience and runs a Hanuman project now. And he's written a bunch of books and he's just devoted his life to a spiritual life and helping Westerners awaken, if you will. So that was a heavy one. Intellectually, I really like Steven Pinker, some Steven Pinker stuff a lot. Fiction-wise, I'm actually rereading it again. Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse is a really good book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, I like those, yeah.
You? You got some?
Yeah, best book I've read recently. Let's see. What? Okay. Well, a book that I read recently, I read all kinds of different books, but one that I really liked simply because it was really funny was Desus and Mero Knowledge Darts, I think it's called, something like that. But those guys are comedians. They're funny. They're from the Bronx. And they wrote a book that's just very funny. But the book itself is actually packed. Yeah, shout out Aziz and Mara. They're great. Not that they need it. Those guys are mad successful. But I love those guys. Book was great. Funny and a lot of real takeaways in there.
Comedians in prison.
As well as
the two twins. Yeah. We'll get them on there, too.
Shout out Lucas Brothers. Oh, my God. Those guys are doing it. I love those guys. Judith and the Black Messiah. I used to work with those guys back a couple years ago at a cable company, and you know they're funny, smart, just great guys.
They're in 22 Except, Jump Street. They've been in a lot of indie like type cutting edge, like hipster comedy, and
just great. I can say this: people that are like big fans of theirs, they're professional.
Two white twins with glasses.
Yep.
Right.
From Newark, New Jersey. I can tell you this though, people that will sometimes be like, "Oh, well, I wonder what that guy was like when before." So I knew them. We used to work together, and those guys are just totally genuine. They're so funny. They're with each other, and they're really nice guys. Sounds cliche, but success could not have happened to better people. I really love the Lucas Brothers.
Yeah.
Good dudes.
Yeah, they seem really sincere. I could kick it with those cats.
Yeah, smart, funny sense of humor. I mean, it hits you right away. I'm not surprised at all that they're successful comedians because their sense of humor was just rich and just funny. We just slapping our knees all day long at Cablevision. So much funny shit.
And to me, the twin thing can be very hacky. I think the Sklar brothers are very hacky with their shit. Like, they'll have, like, and then I said to her, and then the other one will chime in, "What's that about?" And you're like, "All right, you fucking two. I don't like them." Now, they might be decent. They seem like nice guys, but they're hacks. Those two brothers, they seem, I mean, fraternal, not. They seem, What's their names?
Kenny and Keith.
Or Freddie and Keith?
Kenny.
Oh, Kenny and Keith. Yeah, Kenny and Keith. Yeah, I didn't know their first names. But yeah, I've seen a lot of their stuff, and their stuff seems real natural, real vibey, like a natural, real vibe.
God.
They bounce shit off each other. They kind of set each other up for jokes.
They get each other going.
They're just smart.
They're smart. I love their comedy because it's intelligent and it's just funny. They're funny.
Plug them. What are they? Where can we find them? Where can they find them?
Man, well, they
Twitter.
Oh, they're all over Instagram, Twitter. They're on there at Lucas Brothers on Instagram. That's where I chop it up with them a little bit. Keith used to have a Facebook. I don't remember. We used to. I don't know. But Instagram and Twitter. Twitter, I believe. But Instagram, I think, is the thing they're most heavy on, that social media. But they're at the Oscars this weekend because they wrote, co-wrote, and it's just their baby. Judas and the Black Messiah, and man, what an important film. I mean, Press
Oh, that was
theirs? Good God, yeah.
And
they were recently on a podcast, Breakfast Club, Charlemagne, DJ Envy, Angela Yee. Graham, I'm a listener, and they went into details. If anybody's looking at that, the last episode, or not the last episode, but one of the recent episodes, Lucas Brothers are on there talking about basically the genesis and the nurturing of that film and what it takes, and just an awesome interview. Obviously, Uncle Sharla is the man, but it's a great listen to for any budding filmmakers, anything showbiz. I mean, they really grinded hard to get to that.
Visit the Lucas Brothers. Let them know they can consider themselves successful. They've been plugged in the TV podcast, the world famous. Notes from the Pen.
Hey, listen, Notes from the Pen been on Joe Rogan, okay?
So, oh, ain't no doubt. They owe, you know what I mean? They can settle this debt at some point. Maybe we'll collab on the prison TV show.
I know. Next time you do a rendition of Comedians in Prison, you got to make sure to throw the Lucas Brothers.
Yeah, I got to put
Brothers
them on
in there. Jesus
now,
and Mero.
But here's my problem. Are they together in it, or are they separate? So I'm going to have to do two.
Question.
I'm going to have to do one as if they're together and one if they're separate. But all right, so
that's a good viewer question.
Is it time to try to find a port for this vessel?
Let's find the port.
Okay, well, before we go, I wanted to say this. It's been a while, right? We've been rudderless for a while. This is the first one I've done since the captain just unceremoniously stripped naked and dove off the side of the ship.
Jump ship, yeah.
And this is the first one that feels like we have a rudder. It feels like old school, if
yeah.
you consider a month ago, old school NFTP with the, and it has to do with the vibe, the connection that me and you have.
Yeah.
And all the other people that are taking part, it's wonderful, and like we find our own niche. Hey, you got to give me at least two of these a month, me and you.
Oh, I'd be happy to, man. I'd be happy to. I thought this, I couldn't agree more. I think this went real well. And, you know it's a good one when you're just simply enjoying yourself, and I've enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, this is a natural. It feels yeah. like the frequency of it feels like the normal old school NFTP, and we're trying to find, you know, the Pebbles have been real patient. I've asked them to stick with me while we kind of figure out going forward, no one's going to turn away the co-captain, Stanhope, you know, and I love the idea that we're doing these short little 15-minute bangers, and we're working on some weird stuff also with ladies' wear, with a little 15-minute segment we just drop randomly. But this feels like we got a little rudder on it, and I think
yeah.
we have to do.
I have detected the presence of the rudder as well. It does feel rudder full.
Do you want to plug anything before you go? Any Twitter, Instagram, anything like that? Or are you good?
No, I think I'm good. Yeah.
I'm trying to get better at that. Visit us at Notes from the Pen on Twitter, Instagram, and you know the website, notesfrompen.com. We love you guys, and you know, thanks for sticking around. I see good things on the horizon.
Yeah.
We're glad for all the real ones that stuck with us. So, any parting words, Gregory?
No, I don't have any parting words.
Okay. Well,
except thank you.
Yeah. It's good to be back. Feels like we're back. Yeah, we love you. And on that note, we are gone.
We gone.
To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, go to notesfromthepen.com. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.